ESPN FC Daily, K Murray and LME, the defending World Cup champions France, through to the knockouts. First team to make it through in this World Cup after two wins in the group stage is the latest win, a 2-1 victory over Denmark, thanks to that man, Kylian Mbappe, Luis.
Yep, happy to be wrong here, K Murray. Hi, everybody. Welcome to ESPN FC Daily. This is a group, and I'm sure we're going to talk about it, that I, so far, gotten horribly wrong. But I'm happy about it because you want to see the stars shine. And like you said, K, France, the individual stardom of France, Kylian Mbappe delivers. K, that's 14 goals in his last 12 matches for France.
Absolutely wonderful stuff from him, and 3-2 in this World Cup as well. And it was going to always be interesting to see this game because obviously they've been formidable opponents for them in those recent Nations League games, and France hadn't been able to beat them, but they beat them on the biggest stage of all today in the World Cup and managed to secure their ticket and their spot into the last 16. So it does make the group interesting, but also watching for us today, we had Nadim and Nua joining us here on ESPN FC Daily. And I think it might be, especially on my watch anyway, Nadim's first appearance on the Daily.
All is right, Nadim.
Hey, it's good to be here. I've made it. I've officially made it. Thank you.
What did you take away from that game, Nadim?
I think it was a good match. Obviously, you fancy France as the favourites within it. But then Denmark really came into it once they went 1-0 down. But then France, they just have that quality at the end. And, you know, it's exactly what the tournament needs. Someone like Mbappe scoring another goal. So it's always going to be a big talking point. And the French, they've qualified. They've done their job within the group. And now they can start to think about sort of their progression towards the final, which they want to get to defend their title.
Yeah, that's the biggest advantage there, K. Murray, what Nadim just said at the end. Now that they can relax and Didier Deschamps, you know, one of the biggest problems, issues, I guess, I had for, you know, Le Bleu heading into this tournament was there were so many outside issues for the French national team and a transitional midfield, etc. But now they can relax a little bit and sort of rotate against their final game against Tunisia. And this was really about, you know, individual brilliance against collective will from the Danes, because I had a lot to say for Denmark and I've been a little bit disappointed for them. They showed a little bit more fight today, but well done, France. You deserve all the credit. And now round of 16 for you.
I think that the World Cup Jenga, do you know where you keep seeing how many more pieces you can take out without it falling? And so far, so good. Those injured players keep falling. We've even had our French journalists change their mind on whether France can go all the way because of the pieces that have been falling. Kylian Mbappe. No, please don't let me curse him. Please, please, please. We want a tournament with him in it.
Okay, be very careful now.
I know. Karim Benzema falling on the eve of the tournament did make Jules think twice about whether France were going to go all the way, even though he had predicted that. With what you've seen so far, Nadim, would you bet against them?
I think the fact they've qualified first is very significant. And in the fact that they're scoring goals, that's really exciting. There's something that you want to see from them. I think Julien Laurent, he's a bit tense because he thinks defensively they're not as good as they could be. And maybe at times today they was kind of caught out. But realistically, they've got to fancy their chances. They've been there, they've done that. And now they can sort of focus on the later rounds. And that's a real privileged position to be in. And losing someone like Karim Benzema, the reigning Ballon d'Or, is obviously a huge concern. But they're so deep sometimes that you forget that they won the World Cup 4 years ago without him. You know, it's mind-blowing to think about. And obviously, their ceiling might be a bit lower because he's not there. But when you're looking at the likes of Mbappe, you're seeing someone like Dembele, you know, you've got the potential all-time top goal scorer for France and Giroud playing up there and some depth behind it. You know, they've got to fancy their chances. And it's not necessarily feeling like wise money to bet against them at this moment in time.
Denmark, LME, is a team that you've been pushing all the way from the very beginning. And now things could be a bit more difficult for them. So how do you see it for them going forward? Do you still have faith in them?
The first thing I want to say, which is part of this argument, Kay, is that full credit to Australia. Apologies, Australia. I didn't think you would get anything in this World Cup and you got a win against Tunisia. Very resilient win. So that makes it even more interesting for Denmark because they have to face each other. And the winner of that basically gets into the round of 16. I was disappointed with Denmark in the first game. I think that's where really they blew their chances. They really should have beaten Tunisia, given by what we've seen so far from them. So I think that that's an issue for me. But you made a very good point, Kay, early on about how there was outside problems going on with Denmark, you know, given the, you know, one love armband situation and how they're collectively getting together with a few other teams you know, fighting against sort of their need and their wanting to really speak out against some injustices in this World Cup. Maybe that's been an issue, of course. But, you know, I think the loss against France, there's no shame in that, defending champions. It's the loss against Tunisia that really set the scene for them. So, but I still see them, I know Australians are like, what are you talking about? But I still see them beating Australia and getting into the round of 16. But we'll have to see what happens.
Yeah, obviously their first win in the competition for Australia and their first win at a World Cup since 2010. But so far, so good for France. They are through to the next round. Nadim, have you got any fun stories from what's been going on in Qatar? We've been asking who everyone's rooming with.
So I room with Seb Salazar. I think anyone who's seen it at ESPN FC has heard me talk about him and some of his issues before. But the funniest thing for me, he's so sloppy. For someone that's so neat and tidy and well-organized on a show,
really?
When it comes to just like living his life, he's all over the place. This is a guy who leaves his room key outside of the door just relentlessly. Every time I come back, it's like, oh, Seb must be in because his keys are outside. You know, you look at his room, it's a mess, and he always looks good. He's always very prepared. But honestly, living with him, he's basically like a walking whirlwind. Everything is as wild as it gets, but he's a really good guy, and I think I've got a good roommate.
I'm very surprised, Kay, that he's so sloppy, because to Nathan's point, like, he's very well put together and everything. I guess that you've got to balance it out, right? You've got to be a mess on one part of your life, and then the other part.
Yeah, you've got to balance it out. So think how neat and tidy he is when he's on air. So that will let you understand how messy he is off air. There you go.
And Louise, before we do move on, let's talk about the top, shall we? Let's talk about the jersey you're wearing today.
Yeah, listen, this is whatever happens to the Mexican national team, again, you know, they have to play a very tough game against Argentina. Of course, they were pretty heroic against Poland, didn't get anything out of that. But I think it's fair to say that this is probably one of the best shirts that I'm going to see at the tournament. It's beautiful. So I had to give them some love. And also because I do a lot of work with ESPN Deportes and the majority of them are Mexican. I don't want to, like, you know, I don't want to get in trouble when I go and do some hits there. Okay. Part of it is diplomacy, I think.
Let's talk about Kylian Mbappe then, because obviously he's got two goals on the day for France and he comes under a lot of criticism a lot of the time because he is a very outspoken player. We know he's had those issues at PSG and he's not held back what he's thought about things. But his sixth World Cup goal now makes it only Pelé with seven to have scored more World Cup goals before turning 24 years of age.
Wow. What a stat.
And I think sometimes, Nadim, we need to remember that obviously he doesn't help himself when it comes to getting criticised sometimes. He is a very outspoken character, but he's still very young as well. And these are things that you do learn with more maturity.
Well, yes, I would agree with that. In theory, but we're not talking about anybody in particular. Most people would probably try and sort of deal with that issue going forward. But with Kylian Mbappe, he's already one of the best players in the world. And things are being done for him differently to anybody else that probably existed before him. So why would he fundamentally change when he's as good as he is now and has the sort of level of importance that he has now? I think ultimately, you know, you'd want maybe more from him in different aspects. And perhaps he'll learn that. But this is who he is. And he's made it this far. He's very different to most of the young players. But then in the same breath, you know, this is a guy that might end up being top scorer of the World Cup. The guy, as you mentioned, who's only one goal behind Pelé before the age of 24 at a World Cup. And somebody who's probably going to watch Olivier Giroud become the France all-time top goal scorer. But in 2-3 years' time, that could very much be him in his mid-20s. So I think ultimately, he's a very, very special talent. And some of that other stuff, we may not like it, but apparently that's what drives him forward to be as good as he is.
Yeah, the only thing that I'm just going to add to that is that when you have such a prodigious talent as Kylian Mbappé, there's nothing that you can deny to what he has achieved so far in his very young career, is that I think with a lot of that, well, let's go a little Spider-Man here. With a lot of power comes a lot of responsibility, right? And I think that sometimes he's so influenced by the people around him that he may say things that may not be what everybody likes. Obviously, I don't think he dealt with the Real Madrid situation as well as we could have, but you can't deny how talented this person is. And at that age, it's unbelievable. So we're very lucky to witness somebody like Kylian Mbappé. And, you know, for his sake, for the sake of his career and his family, let's hope it continues.
Gabriele Marcotti is with us. The funniest thing is here is I just wanted to get some stats given to me on how many goals Mbappe's got for France so far. So while we were talking, I had a little type up to our producers. in comes Gab with the answer to what I needed. Absolute.
The walking encyclopedia, K. Murray. That's right.
So it was Mbappe's record with France, Gab, that we were talking about. You've jumped in here with 31 goals so far, because there has been a question as to how many goals Mbappe will score for France by the end of his career. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, it is, and first of all, great to be with you guys. I was just kind of waiting and just a little bored. So I thought I did that. Stat was clear in my mind. Remember, I do a show with Jules. All he talks about is Mbappe and Paris Saint-Germain. So through osmosis. But the amazing thing is right now we're all focused on whether Olivier Giroud can beat Thierry Henry's record and so on. I kind of want to tell Olivier, man, get this done, because you're only going to be the record holder for what? A couple years? And then this dude's coming along.
Gab, did you say waiting or waiting? Because I've heard you might have a flipper or two on with what's going on in your apartment. Is that right?
The video is pretty remarkable. I'm assuming you've all seen it. Yeah, so I'm not staying in the same block as Native and most of the other people. They put us with other
elites,
including former Argentine and Real Madrid legend Oscar Ruggeri, the ultimate hard man. Luis approves.
Yes.
So at some point today, there's a swimming pool on our roof. The swimming pool is empty as far as I can tell, but apparently there's some kind of water filtration system. Long and short of it is essentially some water up there burst and just things just got flooded down the stairwell. I went out to lunch. I came back and I walked up the stairwell while essentially me and other people, while water was coming down. I am so happy I am on the 9th floor, because there are folks that had to walk up 20 flights of stairs running against the water. Now all the water seems to be gone. Everything seems to be fine. Of course, this being Doha, this building, I think, was only finished about 10 days ago. So, you know,
yeah, I was going to say, how old is this building?
Yeah, Nadim said, don't worry, because you can come and share with him and Sebi if you want to. We've got plenty.
Sebi's
of
a mess.
No. There are no elites over here. Gab, you stay over there in West Bay. You enjoy yourself.
I am a man of the people, as you all know. But yeah.
Clearly, as long as those people don't put pineapple on pizza and don't have their steak well done, then you're a man of the people. Lewandowski got his World Cup goal, Gab.
Yeah, finally. It's funny. It always blows me away how you're a top athlete. You're one of the greatest goal scorers in history. And still, you know, do you start doubting yourself when you hadn't scored a World Cup goal, when you miss a penalty and so on? I love the fact that, you know, somehow he's human. I mean, Nathan, you tell me, do professional athletes like visibly doubt themselves even when they know that they can do something and have done it over and over again?
I think for some people they do. And I think in relation to a World Cup, there's so many variables with it. Like, does your team qualify? Are you fit for it? And is your team doing well? Because, you know, he's not like he has the potential like Mbappe to play in 7 games to win it all. You know, he's played in 3 games in the last World Cup, and not scoring a goal in 3 games isn't the wildest thing in the world. So it is interesting to see him finally do it. And in some ways, I'm glad that he's done it, because, you know, this is one of the most iconic number nines in world football. But in listening to his interviews, you know that that goal meant so much to him, and he's so, so good. And now you can sort of put that to bed and say, yeah, but he never scored in a major, never scored at the World Cup. And what a player, what a moment. And they definitely needed that today, because in fairness, it's not as if they were the dominant side throughout that game, but the guy stepped up like he's probably done hundreds of times before.
Yeah, Poland with a 2-0 win over Saudi Arabia. And because we've got you here, Gab, the other goal scorer was Zielinski. And I feel that because of Lewandowski, this player isn't being talked about enough.
Yeah, the magic man, the linchpin for Napoli, the only superstar, you might argue, stuck around in the summer. It was a nice finish. It's funny, with that Poland midfield, you know, sometimes when you're a country the size of Poland, you're not going to be France, where you've got like a whole bunch of alternatives. I think sometimes you do have to put some square pegs in round holes. We've seen him fiddle with his lineup a little bit. And so I think Zielinski's had to adapt in different roles, slightly different role than the one he plays with Napoli, probably more of a deeper playmaking role than he does with Napoli. But for your national team, you're going to do that. And obviously different setup with Milik and Leva together up front today. So no, I'm very happy for him. Quality player.
I think it's also just worth giving a little bit of love to Chesney. He was fantastic today. Aside from, I know, you know, coming off his line a little bit from that penalty save, but that double save, he was remarkable today. Just the, you know, just the perfect example of how resilient you can be. And I feel like there's a little bit of a goalkeeping narrative here with Memo Ochoa early on, et cetera, et cetera. But hey, listen, we had a chat yesterday, Kay Murray. I believe you remember it, you know, regarding a certain situation. I believe we have a video. I just want to put the video. Let's cue it up. Let's cue it up to our producers. Check this out.
Nadim can get all cocky. He was getting all cocky with some of the players that they were beating and what we'd seen in the pickup game. And it's like, Nadim, you know, of many of those names you just mentioned, you were the only professional footballer. So you should probably write down.
Our colleague Mo, who put the video together and filmed it, was very kind to Nadim because there's a nutmeg. I nutmeg Nadim at some point, and that hasn't made the video.
Oh,
Nadim has a status, you know, he's got a lot of fans, and we don't want him to feel humiliated with a nutmeg. So we didn't include that in, but yeah, that was that.
Nadim,
really,
did
guys?
Did you get nutmegged?
From 5 yards away, Jules played a ball down the side, it went through my legs. I think Seb took a touch and it went out for a throw in. And he was like, oh, you see my nutmeg. It's like, what are you talking about?
What about this,
Nadim? This is some of our team.
No.
Name no names. We have blocked them
Don't
out.
Don't be ridiculous. Don't be ridiculous. Do you know the best thing about it is, if you in that video, if you showed Jules' highlights of him scoring goals, it would last 5 seconds. Just remember that, yeah? Just remember that. So you can say what he likes about this phantom nutmeg. But the hard facts say, I am the guy and he is not. So let's just leave that there.
The hard facts say you are no longer at kickback underscore Nadim. You are now at nutmeg underscore Nadim.
That is harsh.
Listen, video, it never happened.
Well, okay. So for the benefit of any of our listeners, the WhatsApp chat were people trying to find the video, and apparently Nadim made sure that video is deleted. Can you confirm or deny this, Nadim?
Don't be ridiculous. Nadim stole our camera and deleted it. It's very easy to not delete something that doesn't exist. It's the easiest thing in the world. Run the whole tape. Run the unedited version. It never happened.
We
like
we will never
thinks.
Know, Kay Murray. We will.
Who
never
do you believe,
know.
Gab?
I don't know, man. Like Jules can get a little bit competitive and a little bit cocky, and he loves telling you the story of playing the fourth division. I also want to point out, even though Jules looks like Peter Pan, he's about what, 10 years older than you are, Nadim. So
six years.
I don't understand.
Nadim's got the story stats.
If it did happen, and I'm sure it didn't.
I've got the facts to back it up. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. There'll be another video and you'll see.
Yeah. The thing I don't trust is that Nadim has got now one of the producers that knows all about this, actually in his residence right now, Mike Rodriguez. And I feel that if you've got a producer on your side and you're good friends with them, they're going to always help you out on deleting evidence like this.
Listen, even if that was true, that is a reflection on Jules. Just think about that. Just think about that, okay? It's not about me, it's about him.
Okay, there's a little bit of a Tony Soprano thing with Nader right now. He's told Mike Rod, like, listen, man, you're going nowhere near this video. And if you do, just watch.
So there's the 8-minute version out there, and I guarantee you will see nothing. Just remember that.
I need to see it.
All right. Nadim, we're going to let you go and think about what you've done and what you're allowed to be done to you.
And, thank you very much. Good to see you guys.
Back soon on ESPN FC Daily. Don't be deleting the evidence, Nadim. Oh, he's already gone.
Oh, my God.
I'll just be denying.
He thinks the lady protested too much, Kay, I think, in that one.
We are going to go on to talk about, obviously, the next game, Argentina against Mexico. Before we do, though, obviously, there's been a lot of talk about Lionel Messi and whether this actually will be his last World Cup. And I suppose we'll see how he really feels about that after this game has been played. But Xavi has been the Barcelona manager, is in the Adidas.
Oh, I thought you had him in here, Kay.
I wish. Can you imagine? We'd be grilling him. He'd be nutmegging all of us. Anyway, he was asked about whether this will be Lionel Messi's last World Cup. And this is what he had to say about it.
Messi, who is a friend of yours, but who's also maybe the greatest player of all time, who's also playing his last World Cup ever.
Yes, everybody imagined that is the last World Cup, but let's see because he's a beast. He's a very competitor player. He's a winner. Let's see.
Yeah, that is going to be interesting to see, as is this game today. Gab, Argentina against Mexico. What are you looking out for here, and how do you think it's going to go down?
Well, I think it's pretty simple, right? Argentina need to win this game. It's not just to control their own destiny. It's the way it's going forward. I heard so much negativity. I'm in the building with so many Mexican colleagues. I've heard so much negativity about Mexico and Mexico's prospects from all of them. So many question marks about the Tata Martino, know what he's doing and whatever. In the end, I mean, I thought that was actually, they could have lost the opener, but obviously I thought that was still a pretty credible draw. And yeah, I think if I'm Mexico, I'm in a pretty good position. I can go. I need Argentina to do something against me. I don't know that Mexico necessarily built to counterattack. But if that's what they got to do, if they got to unleash Chucky Lozano, you know, against Otamendi or whatnot, why not?
Yeah. The only thing I'm going to add, just to echo some of what Gab was saying, is for those that may not be familiar with Mexican fans or Mexican media, being negative and criticizing is in their DNA. It just happens all the time. It's not like a criticism. It's just a pure fact. Always, always, always. But with this current situation, the biggest issue for Mexico heading into it is that they just haven't been happy with Tata Martino leading up to it for many reasons. One of them being how they couldn't have done a bigger push to get Chicharito or Carlos Vela in. The fact that the number nine position continues to be a problem. Raul Jimenez continues to deal with his issues. Henry Martinez, not that popular. And to Gab's point, a lot of pressure is on Chucky Lozano, to be the focal point. The facts are there. Mexico need to get something out of this game in order to feel a little bit more alive. And Argentina need to win, really. They need to make this happen because, losing to Saudi Arabia continues to be on the weight of their shoulders. It's going to be, hopefully for the neutral, a really fun game because Mexico, they actually definitely for the majority of 90 don't know how to counter. They have to go at them. Whether it's going with Chucky on one side or, Gallardo on the other one, whoever goes up front, this should be a very interesting matchup. But both of them have a lot at stake here.
Why do you think then, Gab, from what we've seen in qualifying with this Argentina side, that everybody's been so excited about? It fell so flat in that first game against Saudi Arabia.
That's a great question. And obviously there was the streak, which stopped at 35 games, which means they're not getting to 37.
Oh, I wonder why you'd mention this.
I know.
Funny that. Gabriele Marcotti. a rare win for the Italians in this World Cup.
Exactly. No, it felt so chaotic. It felt like, and I've said this before, it felt like Sampaoli's Argentina. And I just wonder a little bit, when we heard about Scaloni, everything was so settled. I'm looking, I don't want to preempt anybody, but the lineups have come through. And I'm not saying that he's panicking, but I see a number of changes here. Yeah. Obviously, Lisandro Martinez coming back in for Romero in the back, which I guess makes sense. Romero probably not fully fit.
McAllister is a big surprise.
Alexis McAllister, yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. Like, and the people I don't like Di Maria, are still there. So I'm kind of wondering about it. But don't worry. Most important guy is still there. Lautaro, of course, leading the line. No question there. And that Messi fella as well.
Yeah, no other player has scored more goals under Scaloni than Lautaro Martinez. He's a massive factor for Argentina. The Mexican side, by the way, I'm looking at the midfield battle here because Edson Álvarez, I am such a big fan of his. We'll have to see how he does against Argentina. But Chucky Lozano on one side. You got Alexis Vega, who had a pretty good game against Poland on the other one. And then Gallardo as well. So he's going very wide. He's going very... Guardado is back in. Andre Guardado, which is an interesting one. So it should be a fun one, Kay Mark. What do you have, Kay, by the way, in this game? Who are you thinking is going to get the victory here?
Argentina have to win this one. So I think that they're going to also, because they just can't have this negative image on them at this early stage. So I feel like they have to come out all guns blazing and win this one. That's my prediction. It's going to be a win. I don't know what the result's going to be. What are you guys going for?
Gab, I'll let you go first. I'm trying to think here. I'm trying to forget the fact that Argentina lost to a very resilient Saudi Arabia, and it's Argentina. But at the same time, Mexico, they're just like, you know, kind of like what Forrest Gump said. They're like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get with them. I think it's going to be an Argentina win. I wish it was a draw, but I think Argentina are just about going to go pull it out. 2-1 to Argentina.
Good thing you let me go first there, Alamy.
I know. That's me always. Always at home. I always just say, oh, you go first, but then I just jump in.
I have to think Argentina are going to do this also because I am going to Argentina's final group game against Poland. So I want there to be something at stake here. And I mean, I think defeat, I don't know if it would knock them out mathematically, but just about, right? What I think is going to be an absolute key in this game is going to be defensively. Yeah. I don't want to go back to Lisandro Martinez because I know, and I just because I think it's funny, I know there's so many debates about is he tall enough and so on. And
I hate this.
We kind of went from early on when he had his struggles, people said, oh, look, he's too small, right? Then he has a couple of good games, and then all of a sudden, like, oh, no, see, look, it's stupid. You can be his size and do it. I just love it because I think it would be freaking funny. I mean, really funny if Mexico – maybe I don't want Argentina to lose, but if Argentina go goal down because he gets beaten by one of the Mexican center backs who's a good, like – 4 inches
Hector Moreno tall. Or somebody like that. Yeah.
Yeah, then we can reopen this massive debate about, is he too tall, is he too little? You know, listen, I come from a country that produced a center
one of the greatest center backs in the history of the game was around
Ballon d'Or winner.
And who won the Ballon d'Or and who captained the World Cup. What I would say about that guy, I'm talking, of course, about Fabio Cannavaro. Fabio Cannavaro is a freak of nature. Fabio Cannavaro's backside is the size of this building that I'm in. So the power that he would generate when he would spring, the guy was like a freaking rabbit. No, I'm serious. I mean, I don't know if he was a dunk. He probably could, right? Lisandro Martinez, not so much. He's got to make up for it in other ways. Like I just think it's a funny debate that keeps coming up.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. There's another good debate that comes up whenever it comes to big games, and you see it in domestic football and European clashes as well. When you see the half scarves that it has, the two teams that are playing. Well, LME, I know that you saw this. You shared this.
This is amazing.
This is somebody who's not quite sure whether they're supporting Mexico or whether they're supporting Argentina. Where do you stand on these shirts, LME?
Yeah, so I watched him being interviewed talking about this. And obviously, he comes from Guadalajara, Mexico. And obviously, half of the people that go up to him go, you're insane. The other half are thinking, I love this. Look, if this was Peru and you had Peru on one side and Argentina on the other one, I'd be like disgusted. Because I do generally am disgusted by that. Your allegiance should just go one way and that is it. However, Mexico, it's a pretty damn good pun. So I'm going to give him a few points for that. I kind of like that. But when I posted it, Kay, everybody on Twitter was just like, no, he needs to go to jail for this.
So it really is just a love for Messi then. There's no family history.
He's just one of those players.
I would have excused it.
Yeah. What do you think, Gab?
I'm pretty old school when it comes to this. And look, I've learned is in my old age, I learned not to judge. This is the equivalent of the cretins wearing the funny costumes. We saw some Mexican dude riding a fake horse. We saw some other guy like who's dressed in a World Cup costume. Like, I've come to accept that the World Cup is something different. It's different from football. It's different from real football. The way I understand club football. You don't get dressed up. You don't do this. And you know what? I will bet you, and there's nothing wrong with it. This dude, right down to his manicured little mustache, right down to his little man bag and stuff. You want to make a bet? He may be from Guadalajara. Do you want to make a bet in the last 12 months he's been to as many Guadalajara or Chivas games as I have, which is zero?
Good point.
Do you want to make a bet?
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I agree. I'm giving him points on Mexico, okay? What do you
think? Yeah, and you know what? Gab brings up a great point, even though it feels like he is kind of against it. It is a good point in that at the World Cup, you just see different things. And I did see a viral video as well of a Saudi Arabian fan taking off his shirt, and he had the Poland shirt on underneath, and he was clearly a huge Lewandowski fan.
It's what Gab said.
It is. Many of these fans also will be following different teams domestically. They probably do have an idol of a player in another one. They may have got tickets for the route that team could go on if they get through. I don't mind it too much, you know?
Yeah, Gab said it perfectly in another episode. People that go to the World Cup are not actually football fans. They're like, they're not the majority of it. I mean, excluding my Peruvian brethren, like when we made it to Russia in 2018, I guarantee you every single one of them. But overall, generally speaking, you know, they're not really there. They're there for the experience and everything. I mean, come on. I'm giving you points on Messi on the mustache. That's it.
Gab, before you say what you're going to say, there's a comment in the chat asking if Gab would wear an Italy-Germany 50-50 shirt.
No, why?
I knew where the answer was going.
No.
Go on, I mean, Gab. Like,
they're World Cup fans, and that's fine. Right? And again, not everybody. I mean, depending on location. I'll tell you what, you mentioned the Saudis there, right? Saudi Arabia is the one country that you can drive to Doha from. And in fact, if you have a match ticket, there's no visa, I think there might not be visa. I've seen so many Saudis here. And I would say those guys are legit. You know, maybe they support whatever, Al Nasser, whatever, domestically. And I've seen people just make the drive. They just want to be in Doha, you know, while Saudi Arabia is playing. They don't actually have tickets to the game or whatever. But in general, these guys who come from far away, it's a slightly different breed. If on top of that, they start wearing the funny costumes, again, not my bag. It's like, look, it's like, remember a few years ago, like, I mean, you were an actor, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Kay, I'm about to mention somebody who was English. Remember they made that movie about, was it the guy who was king of England, but he stuttered and he had to learn how to go and control his speech and stuff like that?
The King's Speech. It was all very inspirational.
Yeah. Yeah, the King's Speech.
Yeah.
Colin Firth shares my birthday.
Yeah, Queen Elizabeth's father.
Exactly, yeah. Right? Yeah. So I have a friend who said, like, oh, you need to watch it. You like film. This is so good. And I thought, this is all my least favorite things in it. Why would I ever want to watch this film, right? Colin Firth, who most women in my life have a crush on, it makes me feel insecure.
Yes, Mr. Darcy,
a guy with a speech impediment, the royal family, a bunch of posh people talking posh. I mean, what? Why would I ever want to watch this? And I feel a little bit like this. It's great. Enjoy. I'm sure it's high quality. It's just not for me.
So you're not a fan of The Crown, I take it.
No, that's different. That's all right. Different because...
This is the ESPN FC Daily World Cup podcast.
All right. What? I think we can all agree.
With that Germany shirt.
Yeah.
Why? Can I say something? It is a sign of major malfunction. If you wear a Germany shirt and you're not German, or you don't have specific ties with Germany, I'm sorry. It is a bit of a sign that there's something not quite, some sort of chemical imbalance of some kind, right? It's just not right.
Okay, I'm sending Gab a German shirt, like right.
I'm going to have to put Gab on a Zoom to my kids because they were born in America. They've got an Italian dad and an English mom. And all being well for England and Italy, they've got some decisions to make in 4 years' time.
But that's fine. Look, I'm sorry. Look. If you're Italian and your kids are Italian and English, do you want to wear England shirts? Want to be England fans? That's fine. Like the Italian side of your family is not going to see that as a threat. Because let's face it, it's England, right? But when we talk Germany, this is a pretty major thing. Max respect. And if you want to send me a Germany shirt, that's fine. I have tons of German friends. I also have friends who are masochists and enjoy that kind of stuff. That's fine. I'm sure we can put it to very good use.
All right. Jules. Someone said Jules will wear the shirt. Anyway.
You'll wear any shirt, man.
Yeah, he has a million. He has a million. Let's go with predictions, Kay Murray.
All right, predictions. Okay, I'll give you one. I'm going to say there's going to be goals in this one. 4-2 to Argentina.
Whoa, 4-2. I like it. Well, I've already said it's 2-1. Gab Marcotti, what do you think?
I like it. I like it. I like it. I can see a lot of goals too. I'm going to go 3-2 to Argentina.
Ooh, so everybody here has Argentina. Interesting.
Okay, well, that will do it for this one. We'll be back right after that game between Argentina and Mexico, or Mexico, depending on who is watching. Make sure you join us straight after the game. See you there.